Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The political and racial gerrymandering of Texas is absolutely the biggest political story of 2025, and it has taken another dramatic twist. This week, a three-judge federal court panel blocked the state from using its newly redrawn congressional map that ruled the lawmakers drew this map. The judges called it an unconstitutional racial gerrymandering when they redrew the district lines earlier this year. The map approved by the Republican-controlled legislature when signed by Governor Greg Abbott would have added five new GOP-leaning seats while weakening the voting strength of Black and Latino voters across the state. The court's decision means Texas will likely revert to its previous map for the 2026 elections, unless that ruling is overturned on appeal. And Attorney General Ken Paxton has already signaled that he will be fighting this in the U.S. Supreme Court. For lawmakers, candidates, and millions of Texas voters, this ruling creates a lot of uncertainty. It raises deep questions. How were these maps actually drawn? Whose voices were diluted? And what happens next as the state prepares for another round of litigation? San Antonio State Representative Trey Martinez-Fisher is with us. He is a leading Democrat in the Texas House, a longtime voice on redistricting and voting rights issues. He joins us now to break down what this ruling means for Texas and the 2026 elections. And Representative Martinez-Fisher, thanks for coming back on The Source.
No, thank you.
So what do you make of this most recent ruling that the map that not only did you fight against, but you left the state of Texas, you broke quorum in order to try to prevent it passing?
You know, for someone like me who's been doing redistricting and voting rights for a couple of decades now, this is pretty much routine. For the average person out there, I mean, this is crazy, right? This is huge. We are now into the 12th day of filing for office. People have already figured out where they're going to run, what districts they're going to run in. And now we have a court saying, hey, stop the presses. These lines are not good lines. We're going to have to start all over. Everybody go back to, you know, your starting point. This doesn't really happen in a normal democracy. What this court is saying that these maps that were drawn were as bad as we told you they were. They were so bad for us, we left the state and we lived in Chicago, you know, for several weeks because we knew these maps were going to be bad for Texas because they were going to discriminate on the backs of minority voters. And when they do that, they're really cheating everybody. Now this court has said, yes, we now know why Trey went to Chicago, because this is a really bad map. Understand from the very beginning, the current maps, the maps that existed before this fight, were drawn by Republicans. They drew it to their satisfaction. They went into a courtroom and they defended those maps. And then all of a sudden in 2025, those lines are not good enough for Donald Trump. So he says, draw them again. And what they did and what this court pointed out is they used the Department of Justice to threaten Texas. And they told Texas, you need to change these lines because you have coalition districts. And these coalition districts are made up of racial groups. So you use race, and therefore they're wrong. So you have to redraw them and not take race into account. Well, very, very clearly, the court has recognized that these new maps, the only way they can be drawn is by looking at race. And so that's why this judge from the very beginning, Jeffrey Brown, who is a Trump-appointed district judge, said, you know, and quoted Chief Justice Roberts and said, the only way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. And they called out this map as being a racial gerrymander using race. It had nothing to do with Republicans versus Democrats. It had everything to do with cheating voters by manipulating maps on racial data.
Our phone lines are open if you want to call in and weigh in on this question about the new maps or the new maps or the old maps, and why are we going to go back to, it's all up in the air, a lot of uncertainty about this, and that's not a good thing. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I want to go back to that point you brought up about, you know, we had a letter from the Justice Department saying that Texas's maps was not good and they need to redraw it. Typically when that happens, the Attorney General of the state will say, okay, sue us. We'll go to court and figure this out. we didn't do that. Isn't that kind of suspicious?
Yeah, so an attorney general, what he or she should have done, in this instance, he, Ken Paxton, is let me look into it and I'll get back to you. You know, you've made some assertions, they're serious, let me go do some homework and I'll get back with you. Or they can take the other approach, which is, we're the state of Texas, we don't follow the rules of Washington, you're going to have to sue us. What Ken Paxton did instead was he said, okay, I give up. We'll redraw them. We believe you. Yes, sir. Right away. And brought us back into a special session to redraw these maps and then created a process. David, if you know, redistricting happens every 10 years, and it starts about a year before we draw the maps. And there's a lot of hearings and fact-finding and census data and lots of input because it has an impact for the entire state. Well, what happened here is what they wanted to do is in less than 1 month's time have a process or a sham of a process and pass these maps and go home. And that's when we said, we're not going to be a party to this. We're going to go to Chicago because this is wrong and what you're trying to do is wrong. And because nobody cares about this stuff, like this does not get discussed at the kitchen table, not even mine, and I'm in politics. We felt like we had to do something bold to wake up the country to say, look what is happening here. This is not how democracy operates. And I'm glad that we left because it sounded the alarm for the entire country. And I think when this court wrote its opinion, it made several references to the arguments that we were making for that period of time about how these maps were cheating on voters because they were picking.
Right. Let's go to a caller. We have Henry. Henry, you're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air with Trey Martinez Fisher.
Hi. I know this isn't exactly on the subject, but so what's going to happen in California if this is overturned? Did the legislators in California take certain precautions to make them immunized against a court decision against them? Because if not, then they're going to get overturned. Everything is going to go back to where it was.
So right, Henry, Henry, thank you for that question. You know, Trey Martinez Fisher, y'all did the quorum break. Y'all went to California as well as Chicago, and you met with Governor Newsom and basically convinced him that he needed to respond, and they did. They had an overwhelming vote recently that allowed them to change their state constitution to do this, change their gerrymandering maps. And so now they could respond with more Democratic Congress people to offset what happened in Texas. So what happens now?
Well, as you mentioned, and as the caller mentioned, that you know, California did change its congressional lines. They actually amended their constitution, and they went to the voters and asked the voters, are you okay to do this? And so the voters have spoken overwhelmingly that gave California the ability to draw these additional lines. But make no mistake, there are active lawsuits right now in the state of California challenging the work of Governor Newsom and everybody else, and those will be wrestled out in court. But litigants will have the opportunity to have that fight. Now, for us in Texas, I mean, our political future is right around the corner. I mean, we have a primary in March. I'm not sure when California has their primary, but there's going to be a lot of implications on elections. And so it is a big deal, but it were two different exercises of redistricting, but they are both going to be argued out in court.
But it is ironic, though, that Republicans sued California claiming that the gerrymandering that they did was unconstitutional, but they were fine with what was happening in Texas.
And this really goes down to like how we've devolved, you know, politically. I've been in office 22 years now. I think I've been through four redistricting cycles. The idea is you do this every 10 years. You're not going to agree on it. You're going to have a fight in court, and that court fight's going to get settled. What we now have is a mindset that we're going to redraw these lines after every election, right? And that's essentially what this has become. We know the big picture here. The reason why these lines are being redrawn is there is a very thin majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. This election cycle is probably not going well for the party in control, and change will very likely happen. So this is an effort to insulate those losses by redrawing districts to give you a better shot before the voters. So this is the example of not voters picking politicians, it's politicians picking voters.
But in California, they had a statewide vote on whether to do the redistricting. We didn't have that in Texas. So you can make the argument that California's redistricting is more legitimate or not as illegitimate as what happened in Texas.
Yes, there is. There is the support and the backing of the public, and they voted to amend their constitution. That's a high bar, right? That's not just a simple vote. And then beyond that, I mean, okay, the voters have given you the ability to do it. Now, did the map drawing process itself, was that legal? Was that constitutional? So I imagine what the fight is going to be is not on whether Californians were okay with changing these districts. I think the fight's going to be, did these districts that were changed, were they changed legally and constitutionally under the Voting Rights Act and various provisions of the U.S. Constitution?
Well, the campaign for changing the California votes was definitely overtly about, we have to counter what was happening in Texas. They were very upfront saying they're changing the maps in Texas to grant more Republican seats to take over Congress. We need to do something in California to counter that. And that's where we are. Who's to say? All right, we got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. Call in, tell us what you think is going to happen next, what you want to see happening. And, you know, why not have a practice for drawing districts that are fair, nonpartisan, that will grant a better representation and better governance down the line? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org. Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
A donation comes in many forms: a sustaining membership, a one-time gift, even a home, land, or commercial property. Donating property is a great way to give back, and you may even claim a tax deduction. Get the process started today. Call 844-277-HOME or visit tpr.careasy.org/realestatedonation.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, San Antonio State Representative Trey Martinez Fisher. He has been on the forefront of fighting against the gerrymandering of the state by Republican leadership in order to grant five additional congressional members from the Republican Party to go in Congress to maintain control of Congress after the midterms. One of the arguments that we've heard from Texas Governor Greg Abbott is that they need more Republicans in Congress because that would better represent the state of Texas, that somehow they need to have more. I mean, Texans voted 54% for Donald Trump during the last presidential election. So it would kind of make sense that they would have about 54, maybe 55, 56% of the congressional seats. Does adding five more congressional seats, would that really align with that math?
I think it would make the percentage much higher. I mean, much higher than half. I mean, I think
maybe like at 65, 68%. It would be, it's not reflective of what Texans really want.
No, it's not. And again, I mean, to do this after every election cycle is not the exercise that and the practice that we have had. I mean, remember, you know, just being honest, Texas, ever since the Voting Rights Act was passed, Texas, every decade, could never survive a redistricting process without being challenged and struck down by the courts or the DOJ. There's just some bad acting and some bad history there. And now just to change it at the whim of every election because the party in control wants to change the rules, at the end of the day, that only satisfies politicians. That does not help the 31 million people living in this state that rely on a functioning federal government to respond to their needs. I mean, I know in my office, I don't ask people if they're Republican or Democrat when they need help. I just help them if they live in the district. That's my job. Well, how can we do that here if we're just going to keep changing these seats every 2 years it really hurts, especially in a city like San Antonio with such a strong military presence, with a strong medical presence. There is a lot of federal partnerships between San Antonio and Washington, and to not have access to a congressperson that's going to go to work for you because you don't know the outcome of an election, that just hurts us back home.
Right. So I just did the math. So under the map that Abbott signed into law, they would have, of the 38 congressional seats we have in Texas, Republicans would get 30 of them. This is what they're hoping for. That's 79% of the congressional seats. Texans vote for Republican Party statewide by about 54%. So that does not line up. So I don't see how they can justify that this is what Texas voters actually want. Let's go to a caller. We have Henrietta. And Henrietta, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I might say that I do live in the district of Mr. Fisher, and I would say how proud I am of speaking so eloquently and explaining how everything goes. But I also feel like there is a fear. They have a fear of us, the Republicans, of taking over, and they all worry that us, Hispanics, Latino, whatever you want to call themselves, the fear is that we are going to take over and then step on them, which is probably right because that's what they've been doing to us all the time.
All right, Henrietta, thank you for that. So to that point, Attorney Martinez Fisher, the federal judges found that this was a racial gerrymander that definitely was drawn in a way to dilute the voting power of Latinos and Black voters in Texas. Do you see that as well?
I do. I mean, you know, again, they were drawing districts with very specific percentages to get to what they call a citizen voting age population. You know, you take a district of however many thousands of people, they were drawing maps that would say, okay, at least there's a 50% citizen, so eligible to vote, and voting age population, which we were creating these districts. And you can't draw districts like that without using race. One of the things that came up in the debate, we all live in a precinct. You know, that's the neighborhood you live in. And in the old days, you would go vote at the school that's in your neighborhood in your precinct. Well, when you split a precinct, you know, you're really getting down to the nitty gritty of a congressional map. And in this map that was just set aside by these judges, there were over 400 county splits across the state. You're not splitting a precinct for any other reason but to segregate race. And that's what these justices picked up on, and that's what they said. Now, make no mistake, these aren't like Obama Democratic judges here. This opinion is written by a federal judge who was a former Republican Supreme Court justice and appointed by President Trump to the federal judiciary. I imagine it probably pained him a lot to write this opinion, but he is calling it fair and square, and we know that because in the dissenting argument, this was a 2-to-1 vote. So the judge who lost and voted against it wrote an opinion, and for 4 pages wrote and criticized the other two judges. I mean, that doesn't happen, right? And so we're really in a new area now where it's about doing everything because President Trump says to do it. Greg Abbott and everybody else said, yes, sir, right away. We said no.
That dissent was so embarrassing that the judge has rescinded that dissent this morning. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Aaron. And Aaron, you're on the air. Okay, let's go to nothing there. So let's go to Jen. And Jen, you're on the air. Go ahead, Jen.
Hi. I'm just this conversation has just been had so many times, every single time that they start to gerrymander these maps. And I just really wish that the Democrats, not the Republicans, would start calling this out for what it is. It is pure and simple racism. This is old Jim Crow stuff. This is old, you know, like we need a rewriting of the Civil Rights Act. We need, you know, we need bold, brave Democrats to stand up and go, this is just racism. That is all it is. That's all that this effort to redraw the maps, this effort, you know, and why? Why do we dance around it? Why do we dance around that truth? It is racism, pure and simple.
Jen, thank you for that. So Trey Martinez Fisher is going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's going to be up to them to decide whether or not it is okay to use race to draw districts that dilute the voting power of voters of color.
Yes, so let's talk about where we are and where this might go. I opened up the conversation that we are already in the filing period for office. That filing period ends on December 8th. Now we've sort of stopped the presses for congressional races, and folks are now running in their old districts. Ken Paxton has indicated he's going to appeal this case. It goes straight to the Supreme Court of the United States. Justice Samuel Alito will first receive this case, and he has to decide whether this is something that will be taken up by the entire court. Chances are it probably will be. This is an act of the legislature. This is the act of the government. And even though I don't like it and many of the callers don't like it, the government passed this map. And so there's probably a presumption that while this appeal is pending, the argument's going to be made, you need to let this map stand in place while we fight over the whether or not they're any good. We've got one court saying they're no good. Well, we're asking you, Supreme Court, to grade their papers. And while you're grading their papers, we ought to be able to run in these maps because the government of the state of Texas drew it. I will remind you, back in 2011, when we were having a very similar fight, we had this exact same thing happen. A lower court that was in San Antonio with Judges Orlando Garcia and Xavier Rodriguez, San Antonians, agreed 2-1 that these maps were bad. They went straight up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court came back and said, yeah, some of this map is bad. We're going to let you go forward with a portion of this map, and then you need to make changes to this congressional district and that congressional district. So that likely could happen. Either the Supreme Court says these maps are bad, you can't use them, or they're going to say, we're going to let you use them while we continue the fight. Or they may say, you can use some of the maps and you have to redraw other parts of it because we think they're just that bad. And so three possibilities that I see happening.
But we've seen the Supreme Court being not receptive to supporting the Voting Rights Act, particularly when it comes to protecting the voting power of communities of color. And did you see them, you know, continuing down that path saying, well, we don't, you know, agreeing with the letter that we got from Pam Bondi from the Attorney General's office saying you're not supposed to use race in deciding voting maps.
Yes, I know there was a
and that would be a disaster.
Yeah, there was a pivot in the courtroom. I mean, obviously the DOJ said you're using race, you have to get rid of this race, and the only way you get rid of it is by using race. And now they're saying, no, this is just about Republicans versus Democrats. This has nothing to do with folks of color. These are just two political parties fighting it out, and the party in charge gets to change the rules when they want to. It'll be interesting to see how the court, you know, sort of reasons in this particular instance. And then understanding the big picture here, there's still a fight from a case out of Louisiana that's going to determine the future viability of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which I won't get too much into, but that is probably the last piece of voting rights.
We need another hour to get into all that.
Yeah,
so I've got you for a few more minutes. What are you going to do? Are you going to run for DA?
You know, there's a lot of talk about that. And look, I've always served my community. I've always put them first. I'm listening to a lot of people that I trust, and hopefully I love public service, and hopefully I'm going to do a job where I think people will have confidence in my work and I can continue to serve in San Antonio.
So stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
All right. State Representative Trey Martinez Fisher, San Antonio Democrat. Thank you for coming on board today, helping us understand a little bit better what's going on with the Texas gerrymandering of these congressional maps. Appreciate you talking to us today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.